D4, divine cybernetics and the self-operating dimensional laws of the one being, God. Number 1A.
Well, the subject which we have chosen for this weekend is the Word in divine science, then the Word in absolute Christian science, and the Word in Christian science. This whole subject is built really on my book, The Four Levels of Spiritual Consciousness, where you have a chart, and that chart is, so to say, the subject of a whole series of weekend talks which we can have. So this weekend we just take as the first subject the Word. The Word in its vertical sense in that chart. Now, I have said that we want to have a seminar on this Word vertical, but as we are too many, we have decided to give, instead of a seminar, a talk, because a seminar only works with about 20 people or so. If there are more than 20 people, a seminar is not workable. So that doesn't really matter very much, because you have acquainted your thought with the subject, and so as we go along, perhaps I can voice that which you inwardly have been thinking all the way through. But as there are quite a few people here who have heard of the subject for the first time, I feel I want to give a short introduction and survey into the whole subject. You see, I think one of the most important things which we have to fix right at the beginning is that we are not going to try to have an improved sense of being or an improved sense of consciousness. We are not trying to improve anything. It's much more that we go out from perfection and stay with perfection and reason from perfection and not towards perfection. So in any science, really, you never go out from error. You never go out from incorrect statement. In any science, one goes out from a perfect principle and reasons from that principle. You know how Mrs. Eddy says, Christian science is absolute. It is neither behind the point of perfection, nor advancing towards it. It is at this point of perfection, it is at this point, and must be practiced therefrom. So let's see that we are not trying to take the whole human problem which we have with us, all those problems and unsolved questions which we may carry around with in our heart. Just drop them and see that if we go out from the point of perfection, that then all these questions will be answered. Now, in order to do that, we must find a new system of reference. We must find a new system of reference. And what that means, I'm going to show you. So if we find a new system of reference from which we reason and from which we are thinking and are conscious, then we can see that we don't need to improve the world and ourselves. So I want to go out right from this perfection. And in order to try to make it more plain than perhaps through a talk, I have chosen also the medium of a overhead projector, because as an American Institute for Experimental Psychology has stated, it says that the listener who only listens to a talk can only keep about 20% of what is being said. Whereas if he can listen and see what is presented, that he can keep about 50%. So if that is true, I thought, well, all right, I try to present as much to your eyes what I'm going to say. Now, that's why we have here an overhead projector, which I'm going to use. If we go out from perfection, then naturally the highest sense of perfection, which we can figure out and think out, is the infinite one. There is nothing bigger than the all and the whole, the infinite one. Now, generally we can symbolize the infinite one by a circle. Can you see that like this? If I don't stand in your way, you can see it. Usually, the symbol for the infinite, which has no beginning, no end, which embraces the whole, can perhaps be symbolized by a circle. Now, this is really only the standpoint of mysticism, because it is the mystic who wants to be immersed into the whole, and it's therefore their sense of nirvana to be one with that undifferentiated whole. You see, the whole is just an empty wholeness, so to say. That's why they speak also to be immersed into the infinite emptiness. Now, Christian Science doesn't rely and build on mysticism, because we cannot understand the infinite whole as a whole. We cannot understand really this whole as a whole. We have to break it up like Moses broke up his tablets. We have to break it up for our understanding so as to know what is involved within that infinite whole. Therefore, instead of mysticism, it was religion that usually came in, and religion also speaks about the infinite one and the infinite whole. But religion is concerned with the infinite details within this infinite one. I indicated these infinite details by these dots within this infinite one, just to show that what really religion is interested in is to know single facts, single truths. It is interested in here a verse in the Bible, there a verse in the Bible, here a statement in the textbook, there a statement in the textbook, enjoying those statements, enjoying those verses, and enjoying them even to the point that they are a great help, that they can heal, that they can solve one's problem from time to time. And it is right for a certain period. I would say it's right for the beginning. But you can see, in order to understand this infinite one, we would have to understand infinite single truths. Well, then we will be more or less at the same point as before. We have just an infinite, and to understand the infinite is just not possible. To understand the infinite as the infinite, I must be clear about that. To understand the infinite as the infinite is just not possible. And nobody of us would like to take the trouble and the burden of learning infinite little truths, so as to accumulate them and accumulate them until we have a great heap of truths, and then learning again some more the next day, and so on. And that's why then usually people get tired about this way of approaching the infinite. So this is what religion does. Now, science is built quite differently. In a science, we are not concerned really with little details, but science is concerned with categories. I would perhaps put it this way. You have here a third. It's again the same infinite one, the same circle, but this time, instead of looking at infinite little details and dots and truths and verses and statements and repeating them, science says you don't need to know all these infinite truths. All what you need is to know the category. These lines here show perhaps the categories. It is perhaps a symbol that you know from a globe where you have longitude and latitudes, where you can calculate every point on the globe. Whatever the point it is, say, any point you can calculate through the longitudes and through the latitudes. And by a point of intersection, you can define any of the infinite places we have on the globe. And that's how the navigation of an airplane or of a ship and so on works. So you can see that science is not concerned with single facts, but that science is concerned really with categories, horizontal categories, vertical categories, and so on. And by finding a point of interjection, always calculates new truths. So if we want to get away from a religious sense of Christian Science to a scientific sense of Christian Science, and this is the great point which we have to see, if we want to get away from a religious to a scientific sense of science, then we have to drop that desire to know little truths. Did I pronounce that clearly, the plural of little truths? See? But what we have to see is that we are no more interested in 1,000 details, in 1,000 different ideas, in 1,000 different little facts, but that our whole interest is simplified into investigating the categories of being, these categories. So this is the reason why we can't speak, so to say, of the religion of Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy never uses this phraseology, the religion of Christian Science. But much more, she says that science, that Christian Science, gives to religion and to medicine a higher ideal. So Christian Science is not a religion. It has, it is true, a religious aspect, just as it has a medical aspect, a governmental aspect, a sociological aspect, an economical aspect, and so on, and so on. But Christian Science as such is science. And this demands that we really investigate science as a science. You know, in the whole textbook, if I take just the textbook, in the whole textbook there are 40 references to religion. And out of these 40, only 13 are positive. So you can see at once that if we try to get hold of the message of the textbook or of Christian Science through the religious sense, then we will never be able to fathom Christian Science. This means that we must proceed quite differently. See, if we proceed quite differently, then we must use science. Now, what on earth is science? See, so often people think, well, science is science. Well, science is knowing facts. Well, that's just not the point. Therefore, I have put here, I hope you can read it from there, I have put down the some of the definition which we want to consider about science. If Mrs. Eddy calls her discovery science, then she means knowledge of a single fact or of many facts not known as having any mutual relations does not reach the meaning of science. Can you see that? Therefore, that what we have seen before as religion, as those infinite dots, those infinite little truths, is a knowledge of single facts or of many facts, but not related. Not related. Whereas science is knowledge reduced to law and embodied in system. Can you see that therefore, if we want to approach the subject of Christian Science as a science, then we must approach it as a system, and not through knowledge of single facts, but actually through quite a different method. The Oxford definition says that science are facts, but systematically classified. In other words, we have to see and to understand that we find in the textbook or in the teaching of Christian Science that we find their classifications, that we find their categories, which combined together give us a sense of system. Or if you know this great thinker Bronowski, who lives now in America, he stated the definition of science very simply. He said, science is not a fact-finding activity. It is a fact-arranging activity. Can you see that it demands a complete mutation of consciousness if we want to get hold of Christian Science as a science? If we want to get hold of Christian Science as a religion, we do this, that we try to find facts. And we are very busy studying from morning to night, from the first day to the last day in the year, of finding new facts. And think because we find new facts that that is science. But it isn't. And that's the point. It's still religion. Only when facts are arranged, and arranging means that you can put them into classifications, only if then we can do that, then we approach the deeper meaning of science. Or we can take from the Oxford Dictionary. We can take from the Oxford Dictionary something new. After the Oxford Dictionary has stated more or less the same things, he says that science also includes trustworthy methods for the discovery of new truths within its own domain. Can you see that the real science has within itself that method which enables the learner or the student to find, discover new truths within its own domain? Now, we must get rid from that belief that we shouldn't find new truths in Christian Science, that we just should repeat the sentences which have been written by Mary Baker Eddy, and everything above that is not right, that we are not here to find new truths, to have new revelations. Well, that is saying the same thing as that the infinite is now dead, that he does no more reveal itself, that he does no more show itself forth in an infinite way. Whereas science is that method which enables us, through those classifications, through those categories, system, to discover new truths. So that if we find, really, through a deeper study of the textbook, those categories, instead of those, say, 6,000 sentences in the textbook, if we find instead of those 6,000 sentences in the textbook the few simple categories of being, then we are enabled to discover new truths. We are enabled to calculate infinitely, as you have seen on that symbol of the globe, that every point on the globe can be calculated when we know the longitudes and latitudes, and so it is in the science of being. The moment we know the great, big, eternal, fundamental categories of being, then we are enabled to calculate infinitely, to discover new truths, so that each one of us has to be a revelator, or he is not reflecting the infinite who is revealing itself constantly. If the infinite is revealing itself constantly, and man is his reflection, then man must be a constant revelator, or he doesn't do the right job. So, if we want to summarize what we have been seeing here, we must make a mental note for ourselves that science has not to do with the knowledge of single facts. Well, if we only would get to that point, you see, that we can see that we give up that old habit of quoting and quoting and quoting and quoting and quoting. This is knowledge of single facts. You know, where you get into a conversation with a Christian Scientist, and to everything you say, they give you a quote from Mrs. Eddy or from the Bible. Well, this is not science. This is purely a religious sense. But what science is concerned with is classifications, categories, therefore relationships within a system. It is relating classification and categories with each other, giving points of intersection of these categories, just as you had seen it on the symbol of the globe. And as we do that, it leads to the ability to discover new truths. Can you see what a wonderful world opens up to us the moment we begin to find the right method to approach the subject of the infinite? That if we find the right method and are concentrating ourselves on finding and polishing the categories of consciousness, that then through the calculations, through the point of intersections of these categories, we become great discoverer. We become independent of a text. We become independent of quoting truth. But what opens up is an infinite realm of constant calculations in reality. Well, that brings us to a further point. If we have seen science, it brings us to the point of seeing something which is talked about today in all sciences, namely that today every science is interested in seeing structure. Structure. If you read today any book, be it on physics, on biology, on psychology, or whatever it is, scientists today are interested to find not the substances of their subject, the objects of their subject. They are much more interested in finding the structure. And it is on this point that I want to lose a few words, because this is really the step forward which every one of us has to make today. Structure comes from the Greek word structura and means to arrange and to fit together. You can see again it is fact arranging activity and not the fact finding activity. And the definition, one from Webster, an older one, says that what structure is the interrelationships of parts. See, again, showing that we shouldn't consider facts as such. We shouldn't consider parts as such, but we should consider that which is between them, namely the relationship from one fact to the other. It's the interrelationship of parts, but as dominated by the general character of the whole. See, this is structure. It isn't just seeing how different parts are interrelated to each other, which is science, which is system. But this is going a step further. What they see today is that every system must be considered within the framework of the whole. Of the whole. Therefore, you can see we come back again to where we started, namely, the infinite is one. The infinite can never be split into parts. The infinite can never be split into infinite facts. This is not possible. Only the human mind does that. But being itself cannot be split into infinite truths. It's only the human mind that does that. And therefore, we must always see every part in relation to every other part, but seen from the general point of view of the whole. And you see again, if we don't go out from the whole, if we don't go out from the infinite one, if we don't go out from the infinite principle, not a single fact will be right. Therefore, it's no use to try to solve our problems, which are single facts, single statements, single experiences, and try to solve them from that point of view, from the fragmented. Can you say that, fragmented? Fragmented. One of the both is right, perhaps. From that fragmented point of view, you see, we cannot solve anymore really, truly, our problems. Well, that is a great step, because I think mostly we have tried to go out from the problem and trying to see the right idea about that problem, the fact about that problem, you see, single facts about the problem. Never putting them into the right place of the whole, and therefore it was unstructured. We were thinking we were touching facts, ideas, but they were unstructured ideas. They were not put into the whole. This definition from Professor Amar, he's from Paris, he's one of the foremost thinkers in this line of structuralism. He defines structure in a different way, a bit. He says structure is the sum total of relationships. You see? No more the sum total of facts. No more the sum total of infinite facts. We get away. We get away from things and facts and truths. They are not really good enough for us. What we have to see is relationship. Just as any point on that globe isn't really a point. It is always an interjection of two categories. You remember? See, there doesn't, even geometrically, there doesn't exist such a thing as a point. A point is only defined as the point of intersection of two lines. A point as such doesn't exist.